Well, 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 welcome everybody.
Blog it's another Talk episode Radio.
Of Blog Talk Radio. But it's also another episode of the 80th hour, so good evening everyone. Good week. Glad to be back with you. My name is Juan Aleman, and with me tonight is Mr. Tony
Lamar. You got yourself here, Mr. Tony Lamar, out here in Austin, Texas, for another edition of the 80th hour or so.
All right, man. It's great to be back with all of you this week. We're sad we missed it last week, but no problem, because we're going to pick up where we left off, and we're going to talk about video games tonight of the 1980s, but not just like what we like, but we're going to talk about what made us go to the arcades, what video game systems we had, and let's see, what our favorite games were. So we're going to talk about all three of those combined tonight. And first, let's talk about, Tony, what made you just go to the arcade? What was the game that, what were the games that made you go to the arcade?
Well, I came from a military base, so we only had like two video games in the bowling alley. I remember it was Space Invaders and a Star Crystal, I believe it was. And that was my first introduction to it, because at that time we still had Pong, so I was aware of video games, but my first experience of a machine that you put a quarter in and you play a game was crazy. It was amazing. But as the older I got, when I really think of arcade games, you have to fast forward a little bit into the early 80s, you know, like malls. Every mall had an arcade.
Yes.
That's where I always went to. And also, two things were introduced to me this time. One, video arcade games are awesome, and it's your first bar to meet girls.
Ooh.
So,
all right, well.
At least for me.
Well, we
yeah,
had
it was
a
like,
little arcade.
It was a training ground. It was practice.
Yeah. We had an arcade in my small little town, if you can believe that. And I remember just being amazed at how good some people were and how bad I was at them. Because I enjoyed playing them, but I was horrible. And one of my favorites, and the one that Buckner and Garcia got a fever from, was Pac-Man. Pac-Man always made me go back, always going back for more and more and more, and never doing so well. Just ate the power pills or the power button or whatever it is, so that I could run away from the ghost and eat more of the thing. I still ran away from it. I never got all the points because I was that horrible at it.
I was more of Miss Pac-Man, because, again, I used to just talk to girls who were playing Miss Pac-Man, but I prefer that one. Both games are pretty good. I would go to arcade because I think I would say I was a decent player. There's some games I was much stronger, other games that were weak. And I think I was just like being there. And I do have my favorite games, but I think I just like being at the arcade, the lights, the sound, the music playing, you're hearing your local music. It was a vibe. It was a different thing. I love arcades. It's hard. We asked earlier to pick out some of my favorite games. It's going to be hard to do, but I will get through it.
All right. Well, another one of my favorites, before I even go to my favorite or one of my favorites, I agree with you completely that you have that environment, the energy of everybody else that's there, putting your quarter in line so that you can play next and challenge the person who has the machine. Little things like that, are what I remember. But Galaga was one of my favorites, and that was one I was pretty good at, as far as playing and getting the two ships and blowing everything up as it came at you. Galaga I really liked.
Galaga was cool. Galaga, you hit a core there because it's frustrating. I'll tell you the story. Okay, at the end of the game, if you get a high score, you get put your initials in there, right? And
right.
I always use my initials, which was ALS, okay? And there's this guy, and to this day, I don't know who the heck he is, but his name is – he went by EGG, Egg.
Okay.
And he was always above me. Every arcade I would play, and I've had a top score – come back, egg is right above me. If I was in fourth place, he'll be in third. If I was, if I was first, he knocked me down to second. It was insane that I was haunted by it. I still know who he is. But it does bring back the memories of just having fun at the arcade and going back to your score is still there, who knocked off your pedestal, and it was part of it. It was awesome.
Now, another one that I like to go to the arcade for was Q-Bert. Q-Bert I thought was cool, but again, this goes back to how horrible I was. You get to going really fast, and then you jump off the edge. Did you ever do that when you played Q-Bert?
Yeah, I was pretty good.
Or were you good at it?
I wasn't good at Q-Bert. I was like, that's the one game I was like, F this game.
Point,
and that's 13.
Point,
that's 13.
Point,
I'm
point.
Some of this.
But I like Q-Bert. I dug Q-Bert. I thought it was a lot of fun. And, you know, it was an easy game. But like I said, once you got going really fast, you jumped off the edge almost every time. Of course,
but
that's the way they kept getting your quarters.
Yeah, well, the thing, you know, I think they're legit. They're not meant to rip off kids. I think this thing is so awesome. It's like, yeah, some people are really good at Q-Bert and some are really bad. And the ones that are really – that's the best thing about these arcade games, is they're so different types of games. One may be strong on, like, Asteroids and weak on, like, Defender, which I love Defender. I rock that Defender. But Asteroids knocked me on my butt. I don't know why. It just drove me nuts. So Defender, how are you a Defender? Were you pretty good? What do you think?
I was okay at Defender. I do remember playing it because I had it, you know, one of my video game systems. I don't think I played it too much at the arcade. When it came to arcade games, it was like Pac-Man, Galaga, and I also like Zaxxon. Did you ever play that one?
Zaxxon, eventually we moved from the military base into the real world, which is a whole nother story in itself. And there was a 7-Eleven up the block, a couple blocks from my house. So they would always have the next best game. It was like Donkey Kong and then Tempest. And it would be, you know, was going to just mention?
Zaxxon.
And when Zaxxon went in there, that game blew me away because it looked real. It's a little funny saying it now, but back then, this is awesome. I love Zaxxon. It was a pretty cool game. It's definitely up there in my top 10 at least. If you're talking about just arcade games,
right.
There's arcade. Separate list. Just arcade we're talking is definitely in my top 10. Oh, by far. Zaxxon 3D was awesome.
Yeah Zaxxon was really cool. Did you ever watch, stepping aside for a moment, did you ever watch the video game television shows? Like they were game shows, but they were video game shows?
I actually won on one of those shows where they had like kids call in and play games on like during a kids show or something like that.
Yeah.
Well, ours is called TV Pal. This is out in California, and they would you have to say pal to like punch something or break or whatever, doing like pong or whatever. And I won those tickets to the circus. No, that was something else. That was for movie passes to go to some big event. It was pretty cool. But, yeah, I actually won on that show. I actually won on TV Pal. That's what's
That's awesome.
I'm going to look that stuff up. Let me see if there's any examples online, because that show was funny. It was so silly. Go ahead. Keep talking about
it. Now, while you're looking that up, I was going to say another game I really like to play was Centipede. And that was an easy one. You roll the ball side to side, and you just blow up the centipede as it comes down. If you blow it up right in the middle, it goes into two separate directions and you're freaking out. But it was a lot of fun because it was simple. You know, you blow up the mushrooms, get them out of your way to slow down the centipede. It was a lot of fun.
Oh, I remember that. But here's the thing that's so crazy is I prefer Tempest. When I think of Centipede, as the speed, Tempest is almost just a different look, but it's almost just like Centipede. I really like Tempest over Centipede. It's still a good game, don't get me wrong. But I gotta think for that Tempest though. Between the two.
Oh, you gotta think for Tempest. Huh? All right.
Let's see. It was cool.
Be cooler if you did. What about Dig Dug?
Dig Dug to me, no, I couldn't get into it, to tell you the truth.
I like Dig Dug because it was another one of those simple games. Yeah, you did Dig Dug.
I don't know why I couldn't get into it. It's a cool game. I play it every so often.
Well, another game that was very 80s like and looked really cool at the time was in 1983, Spy Hunter came out. That one would keep you going back just because of like the James Bond sounding music, and they let you out of the secret 18 wheeler, and then you, you know, hey, I'm all here for sound effects. That's what I'm all about.
But the thing is, the one thing about that game is that I would freak out when I got, oh, look at the bomb arrow, and I ended up killing myself. But I got so excited that I was able to change characters, which was cool. I mean, you're pretty good if you could change your car to a boat. And it was a car, a boat, and what was the other thing? A plane? Was that the three?
Well, I was so good at it that I never knew that you changed vehicles, okay? So thank you very much for rubbing it in.
What? You can change vehicles all these years. I thought you were just a car.
I thought you won the game riding around in a car. Wow.
The whole point of the game is being there less time. I put the low vehicle to suit it. Aren't you supposed to die first? Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. Now, how about the fighting games like Double Dragon or Contra?
Oh man, Double Dragon. That's later on. That's 90s, I think. I don't know what Double Dragon came
out.
It
was close to 90s.
It came out in the late 80s game. Okay. Double Dragon is one of the few games I finished in the arcade. Yeah, it's one of the few games I actually finish all the way through. Because I'm like 18 years old now. I got my own place. You know, I'm off work. You know, I don't have no schoolwork. I just went out. And I remember one night I just dropped, I think, $20 into Double Dragon and just wanted to finish it. I played all the way to the very end. Oh, yeah. I did. I love Double Dragon. Oh, man. With the bat and everything. Come on, dude. Get back. You're
all going to die.
You know, the thing is, the game intro, people, check out the intro to Double Dragon. I know it's online. Look up that intro to Double Dragon. You see a punk come up to a woman and straight up busts her in the gut and then picks her up and carries her off in broad daylight. This is how the game starts.
I auditioned for that part and I didn't get it.
I want to punch a lady right in the cabin.
Yeah.
I want to do it.
Hi, sir. I'm here for punching the lady. Where do I go?
where I sign
That's
for that audition?
That's just a joke, people. My audition.
Yeah. But it was up there. It's one of my top 10 for sure. You're nailing them, man. You're picking some good games.
What about Contra?
I played it. I didn't get into it. It was a cool game.
I wasn't too into it either.
Mm-mm.
I wasn't too into it.
Okay,
go ahead. You were about to say something important.
There's this game. I don't know if you're jumping ahead. I hope not. But there's this one game. I walked into the arcade, Golfland, USA, in San Jose, California. And I walked in there, and there was a crowd around one game. I mean, you couldn't even see the game. And, like, everyone, you hear everyone at the same time. Like, what game are they playing? Like, and I couldn't see the game, right? I could see little yellow and orange. And then I hear, like, the princess that was revealed as Dragon Slayer. Have you played this game?
No.
You never played Dragon Slayer? Okay, it's a Don Bluth cartoon, which is awesome in itself. He's worked for Disney and done a lot of stuff. And he animated this game, which is off a Laserdisc. So you're playing an arcade game, but it's a cartoon, which just blew me away. But if you look how easy they put together, it's amazing how easy it really is to do. You can do it with your DVD player now. But back then, you're controlling a cartoon character. You gotta go learn. Right. It was a memory game. Pretty much, it's just a memory game. If you can learn when to pull left, down, up, right, press start, and sword, is a memory game. It's playing Simon Says pretty much. You gotta just remember which way to turn on that cartoon. But it was an awesome game. I mean, it was the first game with 50 cents. And guess what? I had no hesitation to put 50 cents in that game. No, like, no, man. Are you kidding me? That's way too much. No, like every other kid, man, I dropped all my tokens that day on that one game. Once you start, because the problem was when kids jumped on the game, they dropped all their money in to hold that game for a while. And you couldn't argue. This turn, he just put it out. And everybody was still watching. You're still watching a cartoon. But, you know, come on. Amazing.
Man, honestly, if you weren't an 80s kid, you really missed out on a great time because that's when the arcades really were super popular, and it wasn't just for hanging out. I mean, everybody wanted to play the games. Nobody was super good at them just yet in the very beginning because they were new. So everybody was there having fun, enjoying themselves, and, oh, man, that's cool, you know. But I remember one time I was playing Galaga, and a friend of mine, we weren't even friends yet. This is the kind of guy he was. He walked up, and he goes, oh, you need help? And I was like, huh? You need help? And I was like, yeah. And he took over my quarter, and I just stood there and watched him finish. later on, we became pretty good friends. But, yeah, he just kind of took over my quarter because he saw how bad I was doing, and he didn't want the quarter to go to waste.
I got to share a story with not wasting quarters. I don't know if you knew about this, but we had Donkey Kong at our 7-Eleven, right?
Okay.
And I don't know how we figured this out, but someone figured out a way. And I can't take credit for it because I heard somewhere where you can stick your straw inside the machine right by where the quarter goes and flip your straw, and that light will give you free credits of Donkey Kong. So we tried it out, and guess what? Yes, it did work. Oh my good. Oh my, yes, it did. We filled that thing with 99 credits, and because you go 99 and go over, it goes to zero, starts all over, and like, oh, no, we just got started. And you would think that guy at 7-Eleven, man, we're making so much money off of Donkey Kong, dude. There is no money in that machine. Because we figured out a way how to get free quarters or free credits on the Donkey Kong. And that's how I got good at Donkey Kong. Because, yeah, man, that was awesome. That's a true story.
Wow.
You can look that up. They fixed those because you realize on certain machines.
Because of you guys. Just,
I can't get credit for it. There's no way. I'm sure it's. See, the internet wasn't around then. So somehow people figured this out. I mean, can we get an arcade? I don't know. But somehow it got to us. And, yeah, we were going to down. So every Saturday, I would go to the arcade because I was always looking forward to new games. So at our place, every week I would go, I'll mow grass or whatever, make money on the side, take that money and go to the golf land and play video games and just play whatever. Didn't even play miniature golf. Maybe once the entire time I ever been there. I maybe golf once. And, yeah, playing games like the first sequel I ever saw, I think, was Stargate. Defender of Stargate. It was weird how they make games into sequels. I don't know how you thought about those, but just something to think about.
But you kind of lead me into something new, and you said every Saturday going out to the arcade. What about video game systems you had in your home? What did you have?
Well, looking back now, it seems I was spoiled, but I really wasn't, so please.
When oh, I no, not knowing your rich boy stories.
No, I guess I had every game system that came out up to that point we had. So we had the Atari 2600. I had a Commodore 64, the Pong version, where it was up to date, up to the Nintendo.
Okay.
But the thing was, we may only have up to three or four games per system. You know what I mean? So we got them out, but we didn't have a lot of games. But it turns out, I guess we did have a lot of games, according to all my friends now.
Oh, yeah.
Because 2600, I played a lot. There's games on there. I still play today that's on the 2600. And I have no shame in it. My kid loves the old arcade games. But for me to pick my favorite game on 2600 up, that's going to be a discussion there. So what about you? What did you have?
Well, Richie Rich. I didn't have as many different things as you did. we had the 2600, and my mom got that for us. It was like a mail order. It was like from Montgomery Ward or something like that, because we couldn't buy them in my small town. You had to order them. So it, when it came in, to me, that was the biggest deal ever, that we had the 2600. And it came, we bought two games, and we had those for the longest time. It was Galaga and Centipede. Those were the two games I had. And later on, we got like Indiana Jones. Raiders of the Lost Ark.
I had all those games.
And I thought it was to see flies. And somebody told me, that's Tsetse flies. I'm like, oh, well. You know, do you remember that game? Where the flies would start chasing you? I died every time there. They were like, I'm like, oh, crap, I'm going to die. So, but later on, I had the Nintendo, and I bought that myself because I was working. So, you know, I bought my own stuff. And I worked in a grocery store that had a video department, and they started renting games. So I didn't have to buy too many games because I could rent the games. And I remember I won an essay contest. Now, this is a little bit off the subject, but it has to do with Super Mario Brothers 3.
Okay.
So I won an essay contest on get hooked on fishing, not on drugs. Okay, that was the theme. Don't laugh, man. Get hooked on fishing, boy. But anyway, I won the essay contest, and I'm supposed to go fishing Saturday morning with like a celebrity.
Okay, but like Friday, a local celebrity? Like someone who sells like the local?
It was like a celebrity. I think it was an NFL football player or something that I was supposed to go fishing with. And, well, the night before when I got off work, finally Super Mario Brothers 3 was in, and I rented it. And I stayed up all night playing it. And I slept right through when I was supposed to go fishing.
That's freaking awesome. You stood up a football player?
I stood up a football player. They're like, hey, where's my kid? So my mom was like, oh, you and those video games. You're not even good at them. She even knew I wasn't good at them.
That's messed up. Your own mom didn't give you no support.
I was like, can you take me? She was like, you're already late. Don't go. I'm like, oh, man. I was hooked on video games, not on fishing.
That's funny.
I
look back now. Like, we did have a lot of the games for the Atari, but the ones I played the most were The Adventure, which I still play. I mean, it's just... Mm-hmm. It's so easy. It's just, now I'm just the bet and go here. Yeah. But it's just funny. The In Raiders of the Lost Ark was one of my favorites. The one that I could not get enough of, there's two of them actually, too. And this takes my number one spot. It's going to be Kaboom and then Warlords. I love those two games on the Atari 2600. And of course, Circus Atari. Dude, I guess I did have a lot of games. I'm sorry. I guess I had more than I thought.
Well, another one of my favorites, and one I can still play through now today, and I'm actually, this is a good puzzle game for me, is Tetris.
On Nintendo. Yeah,
Tetris was one of my favorite games. It was released here, I believe, in 84, if I'm not mistaken. And it was the first, I looked this up a couple of weeks ago because I knew we were going to be talking about video games, and it was the first export from Russia as far as a video game by a developer from there.
Oh, really? That's true. I do remember that.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. That's very, very true. Dude, it's so funny about the Nintendo. I was talking to a friend about it. I never even had this system. I was still doing Commodore 64. But I was big on that. And I remember talking about a game called Zelda. And this is the sad part. We talked about it in the afternoon. I talked about it with my parents that day, and I was playing it that weekend. It's just like within 2 days I had to... So man, maybe I now look back, dude. I had a lot of systems. Oh my goodness. Oh wow.
The one I wanted was the ColecoVision. At the time, it looked like the best one out there when I was a kid.
Yes.
It really looked like, I mean, like Pitfall and Jungle Hunt, or
you're right.
They looked really cool.
Absolutely right. And that's why we got the ColecoVision, just because Donkey Kong looked like the arcade game. Let me give you an example. I want you want to see a complete reality check of what we had to deal with kids. Pac-Man was the biggest game out there. It was a sensation. Made songs about the cartoon series on it, right? So when they were going to make Pac-Man on the Atari 2600, we were excited about it. I cannot wait to get Pac-Man at home. I put that cartridge in there. Someone was smoking crack because it was. Do you remember how that looked on the 2600 compared to the arcade?
It was pretty terrible. It looked like a dot eating dots.
It wasn't. It didn't even look like the same map. It was like, is this the Pac-Man? Is it Pac-Man? It says Pac-Man on there. Oh my goodness! It was nothing like the arcade. It's so funny because they got such a backlash on that. And you see the comparison, Miss Pac-Man on the 2600. Shows you right there they could have done it. They didn't want to. It's crazy, man. It was freaking nuts.
I mean, people nowadays won't believe how crazy people were for Pac-Man. You're right, like the music and the cartoon. But then there was Ms. Pac-Man, Pac-Man Jr., Super Pac-Man. I mean, Pac-Man was everywhere for several years.
Yeah, Pac-Man Land. I know that was another one.
Yeah.
There's another one. It was huge in the early 80s. It was a big, big time for video games because even you got like religious groups saying it's bad, it's going to harm children and stuff like that. And it was just, it's laughable now, but it's just like back in the day with all rock and roll or whatever is going to make the children go nuts. It's just something different. And because if you think about it, You're used to watching TV. You've got to keep in mind this is early 80s, early 70s.
Yeah.
So when you see television, you don't think interactive. You don't think I can do something on the same TV screen. You know, I'm used to watching people do stuff on it. So it did capture the youth. When I say the youth, I mean that's even now. Because when children discover computers, it captures them. It takes them into another world because you're actually interacting with objects and stuff. And that's why games are so immersive, in my opinion. And that's why you have so many different genres of games, but they all start with the basic here. You look at these games, they're still the same genre. They're still sports, action, adventure, puzzle games. But they're just updated because the technology is able to produce. If they could make games like they do now back then, they would have made, you know, I'm trying to say they would have made the same type of games. It was just, think about this, man. Our phones had more powerful than all our devices in the early 80s to play games. It's nuts. So it was a good time, people, to discover video games. It's just the whole thing. I'm a big fan of video games.
Yeah.
I love video games. It takes you away.
Well, that reminds me. I don't know if I've ever told you about my mother and video games, but my mother, after we moved out, so this was into the 90s, but she bought her own Nintendo because I took mine with me. You know, I'm like, hey, you know, I'm going to play video games. And then, you know, to my surprise, she bought herself like a Nintendo and all the video games that I had plus more. And she bought the whatchamacallit, the thing you can play in your hands. What is that?
The Game Boy?
Yeah, the Game Boy. She had a Game Boy. And she said it was for her hand-eye coordination because she was sick and needed, you know, to work on her hand-eye coordination because of arthritis and stuff. But she would just sit there and play. Cigarette dangling out of her mouth, just like...
Blow on the cartridge. This damn thing won't work. I don't know if you know this part of me, but there is a time where I actually bought and sold video games for a good bit time back and forth.
I didn't know that.
I actually was quite lucrative. This is what I did, people. Check out what I did. When the Super Nintendo came out, okay? You got to remember, Nintendo was huge, right? There's over how many games are out there. This huge. Everybody has a different Nintendo. Everybody had a lot of games. But no one had a lot of money to go buy the new Super Nintendo. So I made a deal. And what I did was, I say, give me your Nintendo and 10 of your games, and I'll give you the Super Nintendo. Dude,
nice.
I made crazy money on that deal. Because some people will give me more than it. They just want to get rid of all their games just to get the Super Nintendo, because they're not going to use it anymore. But at the same time, there's a lot of people who still can't afford the Nintendo 60, the Nintendo, or the games, and I sold them and over fist. It was, I made mad money because I bought like over 20 Super Nintendos. I kept doing that. Every time I made all that money, I bought another 20. And I was rolling in some serious money in the, this is like from my age, from 89, whenever the Nintendo 66 Super Nintendo came out. That's
okay.
When I started that. So, and I did it for a while. I mean, my house would be filled with video games. And I played all of them. I was selling them. I was selling the Genesis, Super Nintendo at that time, or Turbo Graphics was another one. Remember that one? At the same
mm-hmm.
time. And then there's the Neo Geo. Yeah, see, I know my games because I was selling them. But yeah, I was avid of video games. True story.
Nice. So you were an entrepreneur from way back in the day, huh?
Oh, man, I go back. I mean, like I said, I used to cut grass just so I can go play arcade games. I would go mow the grass. I love to eat. My problem was this. All I needed was like $12 back in the day. I would go have like a Chinese dinner and then spend the rest of the arcade. Yeah, my Saturday, or go to the movies. And you got to keep in mind, I was told I'd be carrying $20 and $40. Now, this is my own money. So that's why a lot of people think I was a spoiled brat. But actually, I bought, if you were in my house, in my room, yeah, I had my own cable, I had my own TV, VCR, and every game system. But at a certain point, I was paying for all that myself. So a lot of people thought I was richy rich, but it wasn't true. I just spent my money on me. So I would do that. That's the truth. That's the truth. So, yeah. So even back then, I was always about trying to make a little money on anything I love to do. So, yeah, that's true.
You're like, it was my money. My mom and dad gave it to me. No, I'm joking. Oh, man. But, yeah, ColecoVision is one I wanted. What was the Intellivision? Do you remember Intellivision?
I didn't have the Intellivision because I didn't like the game. See, that's, I even back then, it was about what games are on the system.
Yeah.
And that was the problem. And I didn't see anything want me to get it. I'm being honest. I have some friends who had it. I didn't. I never owned it.
I didn't have it either. And I agree with you. That was one of the things back then that was different. Like Atari, you could find most every game on the Atari, but then you had Intellivision who had just a few games. ColecoVision had a lot of the same games as Atari, but not all the same games, but the ones that they did have looked really good.
Yeah,
now,
Smurfs was awesome on the ColecoVision. It wasn't a great game, but it looked awesome. I mean, you got to keep in mind, you look at the graphics between a 2600 and a ColecoVision. Yeah, it was a big
a leap
jump.
Forward. Yeah, it was a leap
big
forward,
time.
Right.
Big time.
But now, you know, when they advertise a game, it's for Xbox. PlayStation 4, Wii, whatever game systems out there, they make it for all of them. You know, it's only a few games that are exclusively for one game system. Nowadays.
And you know, that's just business. And the thing is, yeah, keep in mind that, like for example, Atari was owned by Warner Communication. It was just a subdivision of Warner Bros. Communication. So they made their own. It was a product to them. It wasn't like how it is, like you said now, how it's all over the system, it's all over different platforms because it's no longer one entity that provides all the games. Kind of like Sega, like a Sega system. You can't do it anymore. So their games are all over the board. But once upon a time, you're right, they did have exclusive games because it was their console, their system. And I hear what you're saying, but it's not the market has changed where it's now like, either you're like everything's mobile now, so your games have to be either an Android or iOS.
Yeah.
So it's all about money, dude. So I hear what you're saying. I totally get you because you don't get the exclusives very much, not as much as you used to.
Yeah. No. All right. Now, we talked about what took us to the arcades. We talked about what video game systems we had. Now, let's spend a little while just talking about games do you really remember that really stuck out to you? I know we've kind of glossed over them, but let's really get into it. Like Galaga.
Sure.
Like Galaga, besides Tetris, was one of my favorite games. I like the sound that it made. You see, I even know it. And I like the ability to get captured so that you could get back two ships. The way they got faster, the challenge levels. It was really a fun game. And it just when I brought it home, I was infatuated with it for a while. I constantly played it. I had the two games, and Galaga stayed in there most of the time.
Mm-hmm. Galaga is one of those games. is definitely a classic, and I mean, I played that game a week ago. It's still an awesome game, and I agree with you. It's just the whole. It's a little take on Space Invaders, but again, it shows improvements. Let's do something different. The graphics, well, like the sounds. It pops, and you're like, that's the whole thing about those arcades, is that they got you for a little while, but they really give you a show. I mean, you really get caught up in that. I totally hear what you're saying when it comes to Galaga. Now, there's a game that I love this game because it actually scares me. I'd be freaking out when I'm playing this game. You ever hear a game called Sinistar?
No.
Okay, Sinistar is a game. Sinistar is a game, it's kind of like Asteroid, but you have asteroids and you have ships fighting at the same time, but on top of all this, you got this master, like, base being built, being constructed while you're trying to blow things up. You shoot these asteroids and get, like, power rings or whatever to shoot the special weapon to blow up that thing that's growing. Because what's going to happen, once it's built, it's going to chase you down. And while it's chasing you down, you go, "Rawr!" You hear a scream, and you're like, "Oh, Jesus, you're all ratted!" You totally freak out. It's pretty cool. It's called Sinistar, and it was so cool because a couple of weeks ago, with one of my company events, we went to this old arcade, and they had Sinistar there. I took a picture with it. I posted it on my Facebook, and they're like, "That was my game." It sucked, though. They had the game. It worked, but the sound wasn't there. Like, bam! I didn't get the little screen back, but Sinistar is one of those games that it's up there. It's awesome.
Well, I remember when I lived at this trailer park outside of in Nevada, there was this one little game, and I got really good at it. And one day I got picked up by a recruiter to play this game in outer space. Oh, wait a minute. That's The Last Starfighter. Sorry. Sorry.
I let you roll with it. I was like, okay.
All right, just let you roll with it. Now, another one I liked, and I've mentioned already, but I'll get more into it, was Tetris. Tetris, to me, was a great video game because it encompassed intellect and hand-eye coordination at the same time. You had to know in a moment where you wanted to put that piece, how it would fit, which way it would flip, and put it there and place it there as quickly as you could, because another one was right on its way, and it got faster and faster. That one, to me, kind of was like what you just described, kind of make you nervous. The faster it got, the more nervous you got. And then, eventually, the pieces just fall one right after the other, and you have no time to spread them any direction. But it really was entertaining to me just to play that, because it wasn't based so much on my, like, I guess I should say, like, quickness, but it was more like my being able to intellectually place a piece in a certain place and then being able to get my hands and eyes to match that. So I really enjoyed Tetris. It was a lot of fun. I had a handheld game of it. I had it on the Nintendo. I would play it all the time. For the longest time, I had it on my cell phone and would play it. So it brings me back good memories of playing that game.
Well, speaking of good memories, right now we're having South by Southwest here in Austin, Texas. And today was the first game of the gaming Expo where you get a lot of developers show off their wares. You got Nintendo showing up. There's Switch or Switch now. Can I tell a story real quick?
Sure, go ahead, please.
All right. So they're hyping up Switch. Okay, so I'm there with my kids and everything, and they have a huge screen. I mean, the place is surrounded, it's crowded. It's the main stage. You got a guy, you got your hype man talking about, we're gonna play this game. We're looking for three people. We need two challengers to play this game called ARMS, and we need somebody out of three will win a prize. Da 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 da. And do we got anybody out there who can take this challenge? I go, yo, old school right here. I totally just yelled it all out. And he goes, my man, calling out old school, this is a new school. This is, dude, that's not a bad idea. So they brought me on stage, not on stage, but right there in front of everybody, brought the other kid, and it was simple as this. The best out of three is going to win. Me, I knocked the first one out. Boom, piece of cake, no problem. Next. The next was a girl. I kind of felt bad. But, you know, not trying to say, you know, hey. And the crowd's going nuts because I'm winning. I'm beating them up, and I'm winning. So the next match comes up. You ready for this? Only in Austin. Guess who challenges me to be in the final battle for me to win that best out of three? You want to take a guess who comes out?
Robert Rodriguez.
That would be awesome. But, no, a man dressed like Jesus. I am not kidding. He comes out, and I guess they know him because the people are cheering him. And I'm looking at him like, this is for real? Is this really happening here? And we're battling, and the first battle, he won. I got my butt handed to me. Like, I just lost. And I was like, what the heck? And it was ended up being somewhere on my controller. So then the second time, my kids are jumping up, freaking out over this, because this is happening. So the second round, boom, 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 I knock out Jesus out. Boom, take him out, quit.
I like what you say, boom. I knock Jesus out.
I did. So now it's a final. So now, if you understand video games, he won one, I won one. Now, whoever wins this one, either I'm going to beat three in a row, or they got the old man off the stage. So we're battling, and this dude starts knocking me left and right. I'm down to one bar, and he's at full. One punch, I'm done. People are going nuts, like they're freaking out, and somehow I rallied up and I knocked him out. The place went nuts.
Nice.
And I went old school, and I just walked off, man.
Nice. There you go.
That's true. As I heard, that just happened today. It happened today. But
where'd
you win? It got me a Mario hat.
Oh, man.
I got a Switch, the Nintendo Switch out of all that. But I got that story for a lifetime. But it was pretty cool. I was getting a segue to this part here, is that they had this section of old arcade games. We're talking all the games that you and I have been talking about this whole hour. Boils down to this moment here. And I'm so sorry. I got so caught in the moment I forgot to record this. All right. I'm watching people taking pictures of these old arcade games, you know, laughing and posing with them, not making jokes of it, but just these are older guys with their kids. They're, you know, these are just people who remember these games. Laughing and just having a good time and still playing these games. And seeing my son playing House of the Dead, you know, or any of the art games. My son wanted to play Pac-Man, but there's a line, like, they're so big. Even now, there's a line to play Pac-Man at the South by Southwest this year. And
wow.
I should have talked. It was like, I wanted to talk to people, but at the same time, I just want them to enjoy this moment. So I enjoyed because I was walking around with my kids doing the same thing. It was like another arcade. I'm back in the arcade again, you know. I'm back in the arcade, and now with my kids, they're playing the same old games. It's pretty cool, and it was a really nice moment. I should have interviewed some people at the same time. It felt weird because I was enjoying it as a nostalgic point of view. It's really cool.
Yeah.
That happened today, people, at the South by Southwest 2017.
That's pretty awesome, man. But another game I really liked, and I think a lot, I'd say a few people liked it, was Super Mario Brothers. A few people liked it. It was pretty popular. Got a movie out of it. I'm not saying it was a good movie. I'm saying they made a movie. But, Super Mario Brothers. And you've heard my Super Mario Brothers 3 story. So I was into the Super Mario Brothers whole thing. But I really enjoyed playing it. Never finished it. I don't think I've ever finished a game. I've never had that pleasure. No, I've never finished a game. I tell you, I'm not very good at video games. I'll play them because I enjoy them. Just like you and I had a challenge a while back, and I never played you because what did I tell you the other day? I don't want to get beat by you.
It was a smart move.
But Super Mario Brothers was one of those that I could get into. What I really liked about Super Mario Brothers is that you could find like the hidden areas to go into that you hadn't seen before. Or did you want to score more points or get more coins? Or did you want to warp through and get to the end? Little things like that were really cool to me.
Yeah.
That they would include something like that. Yeah.
The thing about that was so cool about games is just like you said, you're just engulfed by it. And it's just, it takes you to another place, man. It's just, I know, today alone has just been so emotional. It sounds weird to be saying it, but this subject here means a lot to me because it kind of guided me into not just being in front of the computers, but working behind it. I mean, it is my career. I'm always doing electronics. I'm always doing computers or working behind it and troubleshooting. And it's also the facing of the video games that brought me into that world. So, yeah, it's a lot of my character, and that's why it's hard for me to just say, you know, what was my favorite games, because it's all part of me, man. It's amazing. It's just amazing.
That's cool, man. I like that. I like that. One other one I liked was Frogger, because it was a pretty simple game. You know, just get the frog to the other end across the pond without getting eaten or run over. It was a simple game, simple concept, but lots of fun. Anybody could play it, whether you were young or whether you were older, not good at video games, great at video games. You felt comfortable with Frogger.
Frogger was cool. I mean, would you call yourself a good player, Frogger? What was your skill set on that?
I would say I was a decent Frogger player. I could make a few levels there.
Yeah, man, that was a few levels. Oh man, it was so hard for me. Frogger, I feel so bad for him across the street. It's a very traumatizing game, man.
Why?
With the frog, you get hit by a truck, man. This is traumatic, man. This is not meant for kids.
All right, what about on Nintendo Duck Hunt? What did you think of Duck Hunt?
I never played Duck Hunt. When I had the Nintendo, it's so funny that's one game I never played is Duck Hunt. I sold them. I had them. I never played them.
I liked it because the dog was always laughing at me because I was a terrible shot too. So I would be like, pow, and then the dog would be like, like, if I could shoot the dog, I would shoot the dog.
The dog says, this isn't going to be your life. You're going to constantly fail.
You're going to constantly fail. Hey, loser, you want to try hitting him first?
Sad. It's sad, but all right. True.
Yeah, it's true for me. But any other video games that really just take you back?
I would say Battlezone. It just reminds me of summer of 81 when it came out. I just remember Slurpees. I just remember a different time when I think of Battlezone. I just get the remembrance of being a young kid, like I said, 11 or 12 years old, you know, summertime drinking strawberry or cherry Slurpee, playing video games. And just not knowing what the future has, just I gotta play this game. So Battlezone has something there special. I love the game. It's a really easy game. It's just shoot the tank, or don't get, or try not to get shot.
That's awesome. I mean, to have memories like that, like I have memories like that of movies, of songs, but I mean, it's really cool that you have memories like that of video games. You know, like
Yeah.
I do have one memory, one good memory of video games, and it was actually of Space Invaders. And this was in 82 that I was playing it in a pizza joint. And it was after our first communion. So they took us all to have pizza, right? So I'm wearing this like blue dress shirt, blue slacks, these little like black shoes, and I had a clip-on tie, of course, because I couldn't tie a tie. And since we were done with church and everything, I had my top button untied and just had my tie just hanging there. And every time I think of Space Invaders, I can think of the pizza smell. Kim Carnes, mm-hmm. Betty Davis eyes was on. I mean, I can think of all that, and it never goes away.
Yeah.
I can always go back to that moment.
Yeah.
And that's kind of cool that you have that with video games.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I can tell you, I picked up the Sonic 2. I got it, you know, the Toys R Us. And I had to get there early because I gave away free T-shirts. And that, it was a big old Sonic 2 shirt. You know, I remember coming home and, you know, like, I got the day off. I was working at the time. And I almost spent a weekend or the next 2 days playing Sonic 2. I almost finished it. But, yeah.
Awesome.
Like,
that's awesome.
I remember playing a Prince. I think I was playing, I want to say Diamonds and Pearls, if I might be wrong. But it was one of those early albums, for sure. Oh, yeah. Any game, I can tell you. It's the same with music. Music is the same thing. It totally captures a time capsule. And like I said, video games was a big part of my life, even now. That, yeah, it does. I do have little time stamps of my life on certain games and where I was. I remember the games like buying Final Fantasy VII, you know, and being inside software, etc., with like 30 other nerds doing pre-orders for this game. And I remember, and I thought it was so funny, is that me being a dick, I don't mind admitting it, but we're in line. Everybody's in line to pick up their order. So this is a good chance to upsell these people mine for other stuff. So there's this girl with a stack of the strategy guide for Final Fantasy VII. Pretty much a cheat.
Okay.
You know what I'm trying to say, right?
Yeah, cheat.
And she's asking all these people, guys picking it up, and the guy in front of me picked it up. She asked if I wanted it, said, I don't need a book. I'm a professional gamer. And you see all these guys start giving it back.
What a jerk. Video game jerk. Video game bully.
I made sure everybody heard me in that room. Had those guys put those books back when I said that.
I'm a pro gamer. Video games for life.
But part is, one, I cost them money because those people were about to buy it. And I just cock-blocked the store. She gave me the dirty look, but yeah, they still took my money for the game. I said, no, get the hell out of here, buddy. You just cost us money with a little crack there. But I tell you what, it was funny, though. It was hilarious. Yeah, I'm talking about Resident Evil. I mean, you want to go all day and night, I can.
That's Resident awesome.
Evil, definitely.
Well, I know one of my favorite games, and I'm trying to figure out when it came out. If it came out in... Yeah, I'm looking it up right now because I wanted to be sure, but it doesn't have a date by it, but it was called Time Killers. Have you ever played Time Killers?
Mm-mm. Is it a Genesis game?
No, this was an arcade game. I don't know if it came... I think it was a Genesis game. I played it when I was in the Army. Mm-hmm. And we would have like the weekend off and I'd go to the arcade. It was the first time I'd ever seen it. And this was in 95. So, but it looked older at the time anyway. So I'm hoping it came out in the 80s. I'm going to talk about it anyway, because Time Killers was one of my favorite games. I looked for it and looked for it and found it in one place here in Tacoma. But you had to buy the Sega, I think, Genesis for it. And I wasn't going to buy a whole video game system just for one game. But Time Killers is where you travel through time and you were facing different people and you had to kill. It wasn't just a beat 'em up game. You had to kill them to advance. And the guy I like to play with was like this green mohawk dude from the future.
Yeah.
And he fought with two chainsaws on it for hands.
Wow.
And when he sawed you up, it was like, and then you'd see an arm fall off and blood would spurt out. I'm like, yeah. And I just kept playing Time Killers. What about you? Are there any more recent games that you like, arcade?
That I played from arcade as recent, a recent arcade game?
Well, if it's not 80s, then maybe as late as the 90s.
I will say Mortal Kombat is the one that I would play. You know, 1, 2, 3, up to 4. I was big on Mortal Kombat even some of the 90s, but the 80s had lots of good games as well. I remember there was one game called Operation Wolf. It was a shoot 'em up game. I love that game. It's a cool game because I remember holding my baby girl. And I told her, taking you out of here alive. You know, do that kind of stuff. I thought that was funny. She was just a kid. She was a baby holding her in my arms and just playing video games.
Wow. See, again, great memory. That's a great memory.
Oh, yeah. It's a cute story. I love it. But it was that, like I said, games, even today, games now still I have fond memories. I don't play as much as I used to, but there's still games. Like, even now, I'm trying to decide, am I going to get this game or am I going to get this game? You know, I'm trying to think, am I going to get the Ghost Recon Badlands or Wildlands, or am I going to go to Resident Evil 7? You know, Resident Evil 7 is another great series, Resident Evil. That was starting in the late 90s, though. But that's another time. We're talking about the 80s. But I tell you what, though. If you look back, everybody, it's nothing but positive energy with video games back then. They weren't all super violent like they are now. They were just aliens and blown up bubbles. It was an infant stage of video games. But with everything, you have to grow up, and so do the games. But if you look back now on video games, you can see that they're still playable. Like I said, my kids are playing Atari 2600 games. They're playing Nintendo games. Nintendo ripped us off, people, because all the games are side-scrolling games. We got ripped off from Nintendo. Story all in itself.
What I wanted to say is we're coming up close to our hour or so. So I wanted to go ahead and start wrapping her up while we have a few minutes. Are there any final thoughts in your mind about video games of the 1980s? Something that if we walk away from this, something you wanted us to know?
They're still fun.
Okay.
I mean, I'm trying to say you can still play them now and get the same joy out of them. It's nostalgic. It's history. It's something that's actually a time capsule that you can play right now. It's not like you back in the day we had 2600 games. You can actually play those games now and experience it for the first time. And just see how simple games were. Back in the day, they're pretty easy to make, but it was a different time. It was amazing. So there's still good games out there. You can still play them. Yeah.
One thing that I wanted, you know, I guess if I wanted to say one specific thing that I wanted people to remember is that you were right as far as how, as we matured and got older, video games started changing. It's not so much about like blowing up aliens or blowing up asteroids or capturing something or whatever. Now it's more like point of view, shooting games and killing games. And it's like as we matured, they matured. The kids who were playing those games then are the ones who are making the games now. And I wonder what it'll be like in the future as more and more of these kids start growing up and they say, oh, well, if you can do that, we can do this. We can be bolder. We can be better. We can do more. And enjoy those little things of those classic arcade games, because they were. They're just that. They're nostalgic and classic and fun. And you can really enjoy your time with them because, you know, if you lose, oh, you know, game over, you know. But nowadays it's like, oh, I died, you know, man, my brigade got blown up, or, you know, you were eliminated, you know, something like that. And I'm like, what? Yeah. But you know what? Yeah. We are right at that time. So I'm going to say, Tony, thank you for joining me. Thank you for your story from South by Southwest.
Oh, yeah.
You have any tales of where we can find you?
You can find me, people. Just look for @Tony_Lamar. I'm out there. Thanks for hanging out. And you got yourself here, Mr.
Juan Aleman. You can find me on Twitter @Aleman_II, or you can look at my website at JuanAlamantII.com. Thanks for your time, Tony. Thanks for all of your time for listening. And we'll catch you next week with a new topic of that 80s hour or so. Later.